This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah رب العزة والجلال for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the last and final messenger, his servant and his messenger. This is the shahada that we all abide by, that we all stand by, that some of us said in order to enter into the religion of Al-Islam. And we all know this, but what we don't think of sometimes is what it entails exactly. What does it mean to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? What does it mean to say that I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, except for the one who made me and created me, fashioned me, brought me into existence? He is the one that I will worship. He is the one that I will turn to. He is the one that I will beg of. He is the one that I am connected to constantly because I submit to Him, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. It means that you are in total and complete submission, slavery to the one who made you, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Allahu Akbar. And this is why we find that sometimes when the non-Muslims or the people of other faiths see us praying and putting our heads, foreheads on the ground, they find it strange. They look at us and say, what's wrong with this person? How can he put his forehead, which is a very honorable thing, on the ground? The ground is dirty. He shouldn't be doing this, humiliating himself. But what they don't realize is that every prostration that is made to any other being besides Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is humiliation. But the prostration made to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is an elevation. It is an honor. It is a point of pride that we actually hold in our hearts. Allahu Akbar. If you realize this, you will come to realize that I don't need anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life. So as Muslims, we render our lives to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And this is why the ayah says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, indeed my life, وَنُسُكِي, and my rituals, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي, and my salah, and my living and my death are for Allah, Lord of the worlds, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So Islam gave us purpose, and that purpose is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get to know Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and to worship Him. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna lit'lamu anna Allaha 'ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Allah created the seven heavens and from the earth seven just like them. And between these, His commandment comes down. Why was all of this done? Why was the heavens created? And why were the earths created? Why? So that you know that Allah is able to do anything and everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these for us to get to know His quality, for us to get to know Him. What is He capable of? to get to know Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. On the other hand, we have those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who don't acknowledge Him, those who have no faith in their hearts in the manner that we have faith. We have those who actually believe that they are here, but they don't believe that they came here through a being. They just arrived on earth. The atheists, those who have denounced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they live a life perhaps of purpose. But what is the purpose when it is a lowly purpose of this dunya? It's to come, be born into this world, build of the dunya, enjoy, live, do whatever you want, as long as you are not harming another person, it's okay. Build up a huge home, business, life, everything, and then at the end what? Leave this world. Where are you going? We don't know. So we're not going to believe. Yet if you had to tell these people that this cup that is here right now, I tell you, nobody filled it up with water. It never came, it was not made or manufactured in a factory. It just came, put itself together, and it came onto this table. Here it is. They would tell you, you are absurd. There's something wrong with you. You need mental help. Yet when you tell them that, are you then saying that the universe, everything that is out there, the galaxies, the mountains, the rivers, the land, and everything that is out there just came into existence? They say, yes, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. So the cup makes no sense. The cup makes no sense. Somebody had to make it for it to be here. Somebody had to fill it up with water for it to be here. But the entire universe makes sense that it came about by itself. Allahu Akbar. What about the weather patterns? What about insan and what is within him? What about his respiratory system and his blood system that circulates and his reproductive system and how all of these work in conjunction with each other? No, they just came about like that. Allahu Akbar. So they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They refuse to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord. Now, the reality is that if you look at them, they have a certain God. What is that God? Their God is their desire. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this God? Why is their God their desire? Why do we say this? Because they are saying, أَنْتَ حُرْ مَا لَمْ تَضُرْ. You are free so long as you do not harm others. Do whatever you want. If you are not harming someone, you are free. So when they feel like eating, they eat whatever they want, however they want. When they want to go somewhere, do something, they do whatever they want, however they want. So what is that? Their God is telling them, eat now, so they eat. Their God is telling them, go to the bathroom now, so they go. Their God is telling them, engage in haram relations, so they do it. Why? Because that is their God. They've taken their desire as their God. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Have you seen the one who has taken his desire as his God and Allah misguided him despite knowledge? وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ, and he sealed his ears. وَقَلْبِهِ, and his heart. وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً, and he placed a covering upon his heart. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. So who is it that will guide this person after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has misguided him? أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ, or أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not ponder? Do you not realize? But you know, wherever there is misguidance, you will come to realize that the people, wherever there is misguidance mentioned in the Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us that the people chose it for themselves, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them. If you ask them, who told you to become an atheist? What do they say? They will tell you that we want to do it ourselves. It's of our own free choice. They're proud of it. So they chose it for themselves. So Allah misguided them. Allah then took them astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that then there is no guide after that.
Who is going to guide them if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to misguide them? Why have I chosen to juxtapose these two against each other, put them next to each other? Faith, belief, tawheed, oneness in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and atheism. Because in reality, we are living in a secular society, in a society that by and large doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that faith of ours is now being affected. That faith of ours is now being harmed in some way, shape or form by us interacting and trying to integrate into society. What happens? We slowly but surely give up our deen. We slowly but surely give up our faith. And we're not saying don't integrate, don't tolerate. You must integrate, you must tolerate. But so long as that does not mean that you give up your principles. If you are tolerating by giving up your principles, then what you are doing is you are joining them. You are not tolerating. Tolerating means to say, I am on my deen. I am on my deen and you are on your deen. I am on my faith and you are on your faith. There is a clear line between us. And what is that line? Al-Islam. Unfortunately, today we have many youth looking out of the house of Al-Islam. If you look at Islam as a house with boundaries, they're looking through the window and saying, wow, look at those people, look at the life that they have and what they are doing and what they are engaged in. So they want that. Yet if you go and ask those people, are you happy? One simple question. Are you happy? Do you feel like you've fulfilled the purpose of your life? They don't have the answers to it. They don't have the answers to it. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us,
وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى.
And the one who turns away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have a constricted life. He will suffer in this world. He will go through problems in this world. And why? Because he has no mechanism of dealing with those problems. He has no mechanism of facing. There is no point if I've been affected by something today. What is the point of my suffering if all I'm going to do is live in this world and die and go away to nothing, to dust? So there's no purpose, there's no need to live. There's actually no point of living. And the reason why I chose to start with certain verses, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us about the munafiqeen, those who are hypocrites. When they meet the hypocrites, they say that we are with you. When they meet the kuffar, the disbelievers, they say we are with you. And when they meet the believers, they say we are with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example.
مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ.
The example is like the one who has built a fire, kindled a fire. He lights that fire, it's beautiful. It's making light for himself and he can move with that light. But fire has two qualities. Fire has the quality of giving off illumination. And fire also has the quality of giving off heat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as soon as it is bright for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the light. And what does that do? They remain with the fire. It's still burning. It's still hurting. But the light is gone. So they are completely blind, deaf and dumb. So they will never return. What happens to us? We go about our day-to-day tasks. And we find ourselves inching away from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We find that we go into the marketplace, you go into your business place, and you find yourself inching away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you come back to the masjid. And you feel alive. You feel like you've been rejuvenated. You feel like you've been given another lease at life. Why? Because you are engaging with the purpose of your creation. But I'd like to give you glad tidings. What are these glad tidings? The glad tidings are that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told a companion 1400 years ago or more, he told him that don't worry. This man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says that nafaqa Hamzalah, or he went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and he says Hamzalah has become a hypocrite, ya Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu tells him, don't worry. What is the problem? He says that, you know, when I am with my family, I feel far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I go to the masjid, then I feel happy and I feel good and I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I feel connected. But when I'm with my family and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and away from the masjid, I feel like I'm losing my faith. I'm losing my iman. So they both go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they complain to say, this is what we're feeling. This is what happens to us. When we're with you, we're happy. And we're in the zone, so to speak. And then we go home and we're far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel distant. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that if you were to continue on the condition that you were with me at all times, then the malaika would have greeted you openly. Why? Because you are angels. You don't do any wrong. But وَلَكِنْ سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً. But there is an hour for you to be in the masjid. There is an hour for you to rejuvenate your iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is an hour where you will play with your family and look after your children and enjoy. And of this dunya, there is nothing wrong with that so long as it is halal. So what we find with ourselves is not only is it halal, but we find ourselves going into that which is haram, that which is wrong. And this is where the problem comes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us clearly, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Indeed, halal is clear and haram is clear, and between them there is a grey area that many people do not know. فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. So the one who falls into these grey areas, he falls into doubt, he falls into that which causes the doubt in the heart, he has fallen into haram. كَالرَّاعِي حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. Like the person who has grazed a flock, or a flock of sheep, he takes them to graze. You know, the shepherd, when he goes into the field and he takes them to graze his flock of sheep, and he comes close to the boundary, يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ, he gets very close to putting it into the wrong side, over the boundary, to graze his sheep over the boundary. What happens with us? We go out to the workplace and we interact with those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking to them, they become our mates, they become our friends. And then at the end of the day, they're going to the pub. So what do they say to us? Come, let's go to the bar. Let's go and have a drink. And you start to become sad that you cannot join them. And you start to question why you can't just go and have a cranberry juice there. Why you can't just go and talk to them there. Don't drink anything. So it becomes difficult for you. And then eventually you give in and you say, it doesn't matter. Let me just go and drink some cranberry juice. Wallahi, that is a grey area. And you will end up with the bottle in your hand. And you will end up an alcoholic just like them. So when it comes to halal and haram, say, that is haram, I can't do that. Have the guts to tell them, this is my religion, this is my faith, and I won't compromise it for anybody. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I please Him before I please you. I love you, yes, because you are the person that I work with, but I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. I have no problem with you. In terms of this dunya, you want to do it, you do it. But don't influence me to do it. If you really and truly want goodness for me, do whatever you want. Leave me to do what I want. Stand up. And what will that do? One day when you stand before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, you will be able to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I stood up And I said that I will not do this because it displeases you, O Allah. It's there in your scale of good deeds. What we do is we forget. We forget that this world can end in one split moment. The only thing connecting you to your family, your business, your life in this dunya is the breath that you take. That stops and khalas, it's over. Where do you go? You go to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. When are you going? The question is, when are you going? None of us knows. So how can we then compromise that which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that which is of this dunya, a short few moments in which they will be displeased with you, which they will be angry with you. This man doesn't want to be part of us, our culture. If they really understood, they would respect you. And do you know what? When you stand up for your principles, they will eventually admire you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man comes to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he is first beginning his da'wah. And this man was well known to treat the mentally ill, to treat those who are having whispers, etc. So he asked them, he said that, you know, I heard there is a man that is claiming such and such. They said, yes. He is here, this is his name is Muhammad, this is what he's doing. So he went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Muhammad, what is it that you are claiming? So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. And the man says, what? What did you just say? And he says, say it again. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats. And then the man asks him, he says, repeat it once more, I need to hear this. And he says it again, and he says, Wallahi, this is not the word of a madman. Wallahi, this is not the word of a sorcerer. Wallahi, this is not the word of a fortune teller. I have heard the words of the fortune tellers. And I will tell you that this word has reached the last part of the ocean where the devils and the jinn are. I can tell you that this is not sorcery. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Muhammad was the final and last messenger. What we forget is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was persecuted himself. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stoned because he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he called to the oneness of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. What has happened is we've become weak in our faith. Why? Simply because we want to appease those who work with us. We want to appease those whom we interact with. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood alone, went to Ta'if, was pelted, stoned, blood clogged up his shoes. Yet he carried on and he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was alone. He was one man. He started alone. So don't forget that Islam began as something strange. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. That Islam began as something strange and it will return to being something strange. So glad tidings to those who are strange. You wear your hijab, glad tidings to you. You got a beard and a thawb and you walk around in the streets, glad tidings to you. The very same laws that protect those out there to wear whatever they want, to walk around naked, should be protecting you to wear your hijab and to carry on as a Muslim, to have a turban and to wear a scarf. So what? I'm a Muslim and I'm proud to be a Muslim and I won't give up an inch of my cloth that dons, that covers me. Why? Because I'm proud to be a Muslim. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than I believe in your system. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than I love you. And this is what we need. We need to strengthen ourselves, bolster ourselves, tell ourselves that we are strong and we are with the haqq, we are with the truth. It's about time that we put away and shoved away all of the other things that are creeping into Islam. Say what it is. Islam is the truth, it's the reality, and we've accepted it. Why have you then come and persecuted us? Why have you then come and caused problems for us? Have we caused any problem in society? No. Have we come and has Islam been a reason for anything wrong going on? No. So why are you then blaming Islam? Yes, a Muslim may do something wrong, but Christians also do wrong things. Jewish people also do wrong things. Atheists also do wrong things. We're all the same in that sense. We all do wrong things at times. But nobody says the atheist is wrong because he disbelieves in God. It's his atheism that's making him do this. Nobody sits and says Christians are bad because it's their Christianity that is making them do this. Nobody says the Jews are bad because it's their Judaism that's making them do this, and rightfully so. So then why is it different with the Muslims? Allahu Akbar. You see the double standards that we have. So go out there and be proud to be a Muslim. Don't give up your faith even one inch. You know, one of the things, or a few of the things that can actually help us to navigate our lives in the correct manner in the West. One is social media. We find ourselves going through reels after reels, clip after clip, TikTok after TikTok, and what's happening on there? Not only are there non-Muslims out there doing the wrong thing, not only are there people of other faiths doing the wrong thing, there are people of Islam, Muslims, that are doing the wrong thing. So what happens? We are going through this again and again and again, and we begin to become accustomed to that type of a lifestyle. We want to engage in what they are doing. We feel attracted to what they are doing. Yet in reality, if you ask a person, what is your social media? What is the percentage of your social media in comparison to the rest of your life? He will probably say 1 or 2%. So the picture that you saw is not actually his entire life. It's just a small pixel of his life. What are you doing? You're sitting and comparing your life and saying, you know what, I've got a miserable life. Why? Because that person is driving a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, and this person is dancing in the nightclub, and that one's doing this and that one's doing that. Yet in reality, that's just a small pixel of their lives. Ask them, do you not suffer from problems? Do you not have anxiety? Do you not have psychological problems? Do you not have mental problems? They say, yes, we've also got problems. We've also got difficulties. We also have challenges. So what happens? Social media is bombarding our brains. Netflix is bombarding our brains with that which we are seeing of the West, what they do. And then we want to be part of that. No, the reality is, the only way if you are doing this is to get off social media altogether. It's difficult, yes. It is very difficult, but for some time, give yourself a sabbatical. Give yourself some time where you won't engage with social media. And I promise you, wallahi thumma wallah, if you think you are not addicted, spend 2 weeks without TikTok. Spend 2 weeks without Instagram. Spend 2 weeks, or 3 days even. Forget about 2 weeks. 3 days without Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all of these apps. And what you will come to realize is that I'm truly and wholly addicted to these apps. You know, watch your finger the next time you open up your phone. Watch your finger. Where does it go first? Does it go to the folder in which there is Quran? Does it go onto the app that says Tartil, that says Quranly, that says this? And I'm not advertising for them. You know, before someone says, hey, maybe he's getting a bit of money from it. No, I'm not advertising for them, but it is a good app. So Tartil, Quranly, is it going there, or is your finger going onto Instagram and Facebook? We are addicted. Every time we open up our phones, we need to see how many likes did I get, how many shares did I get, what happened. And all of us are guilty of this. So what's happening with social media is it's influencing our lives in a big way. And then we have pornography addiction. So there is pornography out there that people are engaging in. And what happens is you are watching a sexual act between two adults. What is happening is you are not engaged in that, but you are watching that and being stimulated. And I say this because it is a problem. Those of the uncles who believe that it is too young for your children to know about this, you need to talk to them in a manner that is close to their age. in a way that they can understand that this is haram, this is bad. Why? Because they are being exposed to this. Wallahi, in my country, in Zimbabwe, and this is a country that you don't consider Western. You don't consider Western. They found children in school committing sexual acts. Allahu Akbar. Children as young as 7, 8, 9 years old committing sexual acts on each other. Why? Why? Where did they learn this from? They learned this from pornography. They learned this from that which is on the phone. You ask them, yeah, a friend of mine showed me a clip and this is what they were doing, so I tried to do it. Allahu Akbar. You think pornography is not affecting the children? It is. Talk to your children. Open up the topic with them. It is important. It is not for me to open up that topic. It is not for me to talk to them. And this is why I'm not going in depth. But you need to go home and talk to your siblings. Talk to your parents. Talk to those who are out there and ask them. You will be surprised how much your children know. You will be surprised how much your children know. What's happening? These things are affecting us. It's deforming our souls. It's changing us because you become addicted very quickly. Music. Music is another thing. Why do we engage with music? I know there's an opinion that allows for it. And I know there's an opinion that allows for that which is only music without any bad words, etc. But let's look at the mainstream. All or majority of the scholars have said that music is haram. Why do we engage with it when we have the Quran? When we can endear our children's hearts to the Quran and bring them closer to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we really should actually think about. Lastly, I'd like to talk about one more thing, inshallah, or two more things. The abuse that goes on in these societies as Muslims. We spoke about it and we said that Islam began as something strange and it will return to being something strange. So glad tidings to those who are strange. So be a stranger and be proud to be strange. And I'd like to address the issue of the burning of the Quran. We had an individual that went out there and burnt the Quran. Apparently this is not the first time that he did it. I think that the best approach, and I may be wrong, I'm saying this, you have your scholars out there. I think that the best approach is to go out there and do da'wah. Go out there and be proud to be a Muslim. Go out there and say, I am a Muslim and I don't care. I'm proud to be a Muslim. That is the response. You see, what happens is we go out there and we protest and we become angry with them and we become violent. And this is the wrong approach. What happens is, you may protest peacefully. You may tell them that, look, this is wrong, this is bad, we don't want you to do this. But in reality, the best approach is to go and be kind to that person. To go, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Give him a Quran, another one. If he burns him, give him a fourth one. Give him a fifth one and a sixth one. And keep giving him the Quran until he realizes your message. What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do to those in Mecca who were persecuting him? He didn't come and say, you know what, I'm going to fight them. Because it wasn't the time to fight. He couldn't stand up to them. So what did he do? He kept going on with his da'wah. He kept calling people to Islam. He kept passing the message on to them. And we remember those who drew caricatures of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened? Some of them actually became Muslims. Some of them became Muslims. You remember the Danish cartoons that were there some years back? There was a man that actually eventually became a Muslim, believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Was this because the Muslims went out and beat him up? Was this because the Muslims went and said, you know what, we're going to finish you? No. They were kind to him in return. And as a result, he realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. So this is something that really and truly, it hurts our heart when we see people, you know, denigrating the Quran. Definitely, it hurts our heart because that's the word of our Maker. It hurts us, but what is the response? That is what I'd like to approach. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses except for it to be completed, for His nur and His light to be completed. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Even though those who disbelieve dislike it and they don't want it. Lastly, inshaAllah, I'd like to end off with an ayah where it will bring about an understanding as to what power these people hold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ That if you are not to be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are not to be returned to your Maker and to the last day, and you won't have to answer for your deeds, then when the person is dying and you see the breath coming out of his soul, out of his body, the soul is coming out of his body, then take that soul and put it back into his body. Take that soul and put it back into his body. You claim you are powerful, you claim you are mighty, you claim you understand, you claim that you know, you claim that you really and truly have power. Take that soul, put it back into his body. Who are you, O insan? Who are you, O insan? Allahu Akbar. When you read these ayat, it makes your hands, your hairs stand on end. You realize that Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is the one in control. And Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will actually push His deen forward with or without us. We need to make that choice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us Muslimin, keep us Muslimin, and keep us with the Shahada on our lips such that when we die, we are uttering it. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.